The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Connected to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live up out of Chicago, Illinois. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. It's windy, raining, and dark, but it's a good time to be above water. And you are now tuned in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And this is the start of the week for me. This is Thursday. I'm on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this is the start of the week for me. Boy, I was wondering, hey, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to say? You know, so, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll do this thing from the top of our heads and stuff like that. So what we're going to be doing today, the fourth conservative debate. We're going to do a little analyzing some of the things that went on in the Republican fourth debate that took place, I believe, on the 9th or 10th of this week, if I can say it. Sometimes my mouth is a little bit twisted. I haven't been on the radio in so long. It feels like long, but we just have to deal with it. So we're going to deal with the fourth conservative debate, and I'm going to actually give my opinions. I don't have a guest on the show today, but who knows. Something could happen. 347-857-1762. That's the number to the call in guest line to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Or you just sit back and listen and just take it all in and podcast the show at your convenience. It's Thursday night. I'm on Thursday night. I'm on Friday night. I'm on Saturday night. A lot of people don't have time to be sitting next to an internet radio show. They're out with their families and things. They're having fun. But poor George Wilder Jr. has to sit in his studio because he loves doing his radio show. I feel like I got an audience right here in front of me. I really do. I really do. And everybody just, hey, egging me on to do a great job because I feel like they're saying, hey, George, you're super. You're Superman. And that's how it goes. Okay, so we have... It's beautiful. Like I said, I hope the weather is cooperating where you are. It's sort of raining, windy, wind is blowing, but it's beautiful. You know, I mean, it's beautiful. Anytime it's raining, you tell yourself, wow, man, this is sleeping weather. And sometimes you are correct. It is sleep. I mean, there's not a time that goes by when it's raining and gray and cold. I mean, we do some sleeping. We do some serious sleeping in this household when the weather is really kind of bad outside, you know. So, you know, and a lot of times the weather keep you from going anywhere. You know, you don't want to get out there and get wet and lightning and all that stuff. So you stay in and you figure out things to do on the inside, and especially with your family. I mean, there's no time like any time to be with your family, those people who loves you. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, everybody. Whether you're listening live or whether you're archiving the show for later, download it, and thank you for doing all of that. Because if it wasn't for you, I would not be here. You are the motivating force that keeps me doing this show. Your feedback, your call-ins, your all of your adulation in my inbox. You keep me on the show. You keep me rallying on this show. Okay? And this is a show that I personally call Times, because, I mean, you can talk about anything on this show. I mean, basically, most of the time I'm talking about things that are political on the show. But actually, anything goes. You know, this is Thursday. Anything goes Thursday. Anything goes Friday. You know, unless I have a specific topic that I'm going to be actually talking about, and we have a there's a guest on the show who's going to be talking about something that's related to whatever that topic might be during that time of the show. But other than that, it's anything goes, you know. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun. And I have been busy. I have been totally busy all week if I have not been on the radio, because most of the time if I'm not on the radio, I'm busy booking guests or trying to get guests to be on the show so they can – so we can learn. I'm just as much of a student as you are. And I learn from everybody. I learn from the callers who come in, who call into the show. I learn from the people who archive the show. I learn from people all the time, and they learn from me. You know, it's like tit for tat. You learn from me, I learn from you. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I want to talk about the debate just a little bit. I don't want to dwell on it because it was 2 or 3 days ago. So it was the fourth go-around for the Republican candidates Tuesday night, but this time the stage was just a bit less crowded because only 8 candidates polled well enough to make the call, to make the cut, call or cut. You know, so if you didn't make the cut, I don't think Lindsey Graham, this guy, did not make the cut. He's a nutcase anyway. Like I said before, one radio talk show host called these guys the bozo bus. This bozo bus. I'm not going to name the radio show host because I don't want you leaving me to go to that guy. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. I'm just giving you my analysts. Carly Fiorina, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Rand Paul faced off at the Milwaukee Theater, which followed an undercard debate featuring Chris Christie, Mike Huckleberry. Okay, this is the second round of it, the second wing of it, actually. Featuring Chris Christie, Mike Huckleberry, Bobby Jindal, and Rick Santorum. Okay, wow, this is something, okay? All right, the Republican debate wrapped up. The Republican candidates wrapped up a debate Tuesday in which they argue about who is best qualified to tackle the nation's economic challenges, who is the best conservative, who is most likely to defeat the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. So they are already brushing off Bernie Sanders. They already said, well, you know, Bernie Sanders is high in the polls. He's not as high as Hillary Clinton. But I would caution the Republicans not to brush off Bernie Sanders. I mean, he could overtake Hillary in a moment. But the thing is, we got to get people out there to vote. And I'm pretty sure that most progressive, most liberals, Democrats, and independents out there feel that the Republicans don't offer anything. But even though I've heard that this recent debate, this fourth debate, they've offered a little bit more of substance in the issues and policies that they are going to put forth if one of them become president of the United States. Okay? So, and I would caution them, do not underestimate Bernie Sanders. A lot of people are criticizing Bernie Sanders, saying he's a communist. He's a socialist. He's a socialist, but he's not a communist. Okay? And some people are saying he's too old to be president. Isn't that something? Too old? Bernie is the feistiest old man that you'll ever see. I mean, he is in great shape. His health is good. His health is good. The man is traveling from state to state, rally to rally, meeting to meeting, you know, getting on and getting off planes. You know, he's got to be in some of the great shape ever. And yeah, he's older, of course. I think Hillary Clinton is just a few years younger than he is. But I would caution the Republicans not to write this guy off. Like I've said in a lot of shows that I've done, that I am actually a Bernie Sanders supporter. However, if Bernie should lose, I hope he doesn't, but if he should, then we're going to have to back Hillary Clinton. That's no doubt about that. We got to get a Dem in the White House, not a Republican, because a lot of these guys are just saying anything to get you to vote for him. You know, and later on, I'm going to talk about the stalemate in Illinois. Also, Bruce Roundup, because I am really, really, I'm really pissed off at these guys. I am so pissed off. It's just crazy, you know. And let's get on with the debate. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. If I can get these speakers all right. All right, we're talking about the fourth conservative debate, the Republican debate that took place, I believe, on the 9th of November. I was off the air. Probably was a good thing. All right. Okay, Kasich, John Kasich, the governor of Illinois, a Republican governor, of course, blast the policies of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and says the Republicans must win the election to reduce power in Washington. He said to reduce power in Washington. What he meant to say, to reduce Democratic power in Washington. And a lot of us feel that Democratic power should be increased in Washington. Okay? Not reduced, because you know, I mean, if the Republicans get into office, it's one thing. It's two things they're going to do. They're going to get rid of Planned Parenthood, and they're going to get rid of Obamacare, which is known as health care, American Care Act. They're going to get rid of that. They are vowed to get rid of that. And there's not going to be any kind of replacement for that. That's their pet peeve. Get rid of health care and the strip parenthood of any kind of funding. Okay, Fiorina also raises the specter of a Clinton presidency and says she is the best position to defeat Hillary Clinton. Carly Fiorina saying that she's in the best position to beat Hillary. This lady is senile. Okay, she's not in the best position to beat anyone. She ruined Hewlett Packard when she was the CEO, and they fired her. Never trust someone with anything who has gotten fired from a corporate position. I mean, because run a company, what makes you think she can run the United States of America. Give me a break. And she lies through her teeth. She's wearing, I mean, if you think about it, Donald Trump talked about her looks a while back in the first or second debate. And looks like to me she done went out and got herself a facelift. I mean, if you're ugly on the outside, you're going to be ugly on the inside. There's no second wind of that. That's the way that goes. You know, and she's a Republican, a conservative through and through. She hates Planned Parenthood. She hates health care. I mean, she's a Republican. They're all on the same page with this. You know, so. All right, Bush stresses, Jeb Bush, he stresses improving the military, saying that he will be a true commander-in-chief who will stick up for the troops and help veterans. Okay, I'll believe that when I see it. That'll happen. But from my understanding, Bush did a lot better. He did better than he'd done in the last three debates because the donors, the rich donors, they was threatened to take money from him. Withhold some of his campaign cash because he wasn't doing well, but he's still down in the polls. And there's no way he's going to be the Republican conservative nominee for president. There's no way that's going to happen unless by some miracle, you know, but he becomes the number one focal point of the conservatives in this race. And we all know who it is. It's totally Donald Trump. Donald Trump is outpacing everybody. At first, people thought that Ben Carson, and I don't know Ben Carson. Most people thought that Ben Carson was going to take it away. But Trump has got this. He's got this. His weird rhetoric, his standing on issues is just weird and just totally absurd, but he's out front. I can say the same thing for Ben Carson. Carson, he's got about two or three best-selling books. Majority of those books are filled with nothing but lies. Everything in those books has been contradicted. Just about everything in his books has been contradicted. Even Ben Carson is saying that some of the things are probably not as true as they should have been. What are we going to do? Put a liar in the White House? We're going to vote for a liar? You know, I'm pretty sure he's lost some of his support. He probably hasn't lost that much. But, you know, the crazies are going to be crazy and vote for a crazy. You know, he seems like a nice guy. He's just presidential material. He's just, I've got nothing against him except for he's a tattletale. He's a storyteller. He's a liar. You know, I mean, other than that, you know, I've got nothing against the guy. You know, they are even investigating his background as a neurosurgeon. Some people say he works on brains. He's a guy who works on brains that needs a brain. I thought that was funny, but anyway. And Ted Cruz, I mean, I'm hearing that a lot of people don't like this guy. I mean, people in his own party, people in Congress don't like him. He's actually from Canada. His father is a Canadian. His mother is an American. And his mother was, I think they both were Canadians. His mother came over here to the United States and here is where Ted Cruz was born. He was born in America. That's why he is eligible to run for president, even though his folks are Canadians. But his mom came over here, and he was born in America. So I guess that's he can be called one of those things they call an anger baby, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Ted Cruz says 2016 will be like 1980, and the Republicans can repeat Ronald Reagan's victory by stressing conservative principles. Maybe, but most of those conservatives that he's talking about, they don't like him. They don't like him. I mean, this is from news reports. You know, they do not like him, and I'm pretty sure he knows that. But that's not going to stop him from running, you know. So Rubio, Marco Rubio, I think this guy, I think he has something. I really do. I listen to him talk. I would never vote for any of these guys. I'm just giving you my thoughts and my opinions and my analysis. But I think this guy, Marco Rubio, I think he has something. I think he would be a real good presidential candidate. I think he would be a good president. He looks presidential. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Now, he is the same. He thinks the same as the rest of the Republicans. They all have the same playbook. Bust social programs, bust unions, bust the hell out of Planned Parenthood, take away health care. They are under that same playbook, you know. That's what the Republicans want. That's why we have to keep them out of office. And some people are saying this fourth debate is probably one of the best debates because some of them talked about issues. Issues. Carson talked about raising the federal debt and other national problems. He says we should not avoid these challenges because of political correctness. Trump says he is self-funding his campaign and also says Republicans must do all they can to defeat Clinton. Wow. Basically what he's saying, even if he doesn't get the nomination and if some other guy gets it, or girl or woman gets it, that they should do their best to defeat Clinton. Here we go again. Nobody is mentioning Bernie Sanders as if he's a ghost or something, or as if he's not there, or he's not present, or he doesn't exist. However, if Bernie comes back and burn them in their ass, they're gonna notice him, and they are going to acknowledge him. All right, yeah, Trump is funding his own campaign, of course. He's a billionaire. But Trump is trying to say is that I am funding my own campaign. I don't have to take money from no one. I don't have to take money from no one. I've turned down millions of dollars from people who wanted to buy me off, but I've got my own money, spending my own money. I'm financially investing in my own campaign. I'm not bought off like the rest of these guys are on this stage. Jeb Bush is bought off, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio. All of these guys are bought and paid for by corporations and big donors because they don't have any money. They're not billionaires, so they can't fund their own campaign. They need money from other sources. But Trump, Donald Trump, doesn't need money from anybody because he's got his own money. See, when you're being bought off, you have to do what your donors and the rich want you to do because they're funding your campaign. If it wasn't for them, you would not be in the race. You would not be up there on the stage. So therefore, you are bought and paid for. You are not listening to what the people want you to do. You're listening to the folks who are giving millions and millions of dollars to your campaign. Because grassroots people, middle-class people, cannot give you $500,000 a pop or $1 million a pop for your campaign. It's not going to happen because they don't have it. So Donald Trump has said, hey, I'm not bought and paid for like the rest of these guys on stage because I have my own money. He's right. He has his own cash-a-rooney. And nobody disputes that. You know, one time I heard him say that on stage in one of the debates. I was ready for somebody to come up there and kind of rebut that or dispute it or disagree with it. But there was 17 of them then not one of them rebutted or refuted that accusation from him, that saying from him, that statement that he made that he was not bought off and they were. You know why they didn't say anything? Why they didn't rebut him? Why that they didn't come back at him? Because it's true. It's totally true. I'm here right now, and I'm looking at Elizabeth Warren. She's right in front of me. And she is just smiling, and she's like, it's like she's saying, go, George. You got it, George. So as long as I got her blessing, I'm fine, you know. So let's move right along, Trump talks about to claw back taxes from overseas incomes. I don't know where he – does he really know about overseas income or taxes? You know what I think he does? Probably because he's probably hired people to – Kadem on those things. I'm pretty sure Trump is being educated on a lot of things that he probably didn't know anything about before he got on stage, because he doesn't want to look stupid. Trump knows nothing about government. He's learning it on the fly. They are putting things in front of him. They are rehearsing questions and answers, so when he gets on stage, he won't fall on his face that he knows how to answer a certain question with a sensible sounding answer. Okay, Marco Rubio cast the question in generational terms, saying that the election is about the future, while Clinton and the Democrats are the party of the past. The Democrats are not the party of the past. The Republicans, now that's are the party of the past. That's a total bold-faced lie. It's the Republicans that want to repeal Obamacare. It's the Republicans that want to take away Social Security. That was enacted in the 1940s by Eleanor Roosevelt. Republicans that want to get rid of IRS. It's the Republicans. So for Rubio to make that statement, that's a bold-faced lie. The Republicans want to take away every program, everything that was enacted to help people that is social, that has been enacted by other liberals and progressives down through history. This is what they want to do. They want to take us back, and I think you know that. They want to take us back. Democrats does not, they don't want to take us back. That's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. And I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. But I lean towards being a Democrat or a progressive. I'm not afraid of being a liberal. I just don't want to be called a bleeding heart liberal. Okay, Kasich reminds Cruz that letting banks fail will cost depositors millions of dollars, and sometimes leaders have to make hard decisions. Okay, and I quote, philosophy doesn't work when you run something, Kasich says, though his comments draw catcalls from the audience. And I was kind of wondering why Kasich made a lot of, said a lot of sensible things, and the audience kind of booed him a little bit, you know. Obviously, the audience full of Republicans and conservatives didn't like to hear things that were going to help people. So Kasich may not get the nomination because he has a heart. He has a feeling for people. And the audience out there didn't like that. They didn't. Hell no, you want to help people. No, hell no. You're not going to be president of the United States. We don't want that. We want to see parenthood down on his knees. We want to see healthcare. We don't want people going to the doctor. So Kasich is he's in trouble there. But that's wrong. A lot of commentators, a lot of the hosts caught that as they was watching the debate, that the audience was kind of rude to John Kasich, the governor of Illinois, because he was saying things that sounded rational in terms of issues dealing with the poor and the middle class. I mean, that's where your votes. Your votes are with the struggling poor, the middle class. Those are the people who are going to vote. That's it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. right, welcome back. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, out of Chicago, out of the state of Illinois. We're going to talk about Bruce Rauno later. I can't remiss doing a show without talking about this mess in Illinois, because it is a total mess. 347-857-1762, or just sit back and relax and enjoy the show. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am your talk show host. All right. Okay, there's no guest on the show today, but we will be booking some guests in the future because I love talking to people on the show. I think it's a great thing. I learned something. They learned something. And we're going to have Dr. Nancy Hartwell. She's going to be back on the show in the near future. We've got a lot of feedback from having her on. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. She was talking about sex trafficking. And we're going to be doing a lot more. I'm going to be doing a lot more on this issue of sex trafficking. They're saying it's, they're giving sex trafficking. I guess that means that Illinois somehow, Chicago, is somehow doing a good job on trying to eradicate this stuff. But you know what? Sexual trafficking, and I didn't know this. Probably because I'm very naive on some things, but I didn't know that sex trafficking can start in grammar school. I figured that out when I first enrolled my son into kindergarten at a neighborhood school. And I saw and witnessed, over the years, I've saw and witnessed some of the young children, I call them, being recruited by gang members into selling their bodies on the street. I knew some of these little kids because my son, they were in his classrooms. And I would go up to school for Teacher's Day or Parents' Day or to get grades or something. And I would see a lot of these kids. And then they would be in school learning, or they'd be playing around in the playground or something or something. And then next thing I know, in a couple of years, I saw them out on the street selling their bodies, you know, offering me some. I don't want any, you know. But sex trafficking is bad. And like Sheriff Tom Dart said, it is everywhere. Sex trafficking of young girls by bullying pimps, by young thugs, it's everywhere. Because most of the time, if you see girls out here selling their bodies, walking up and down the street, standing on the corner, some guy is behind that. Some guy is looking from afar to see if she's doing her job. And then after she has the sex, have the sex act, he comes along, takes the money, beats her ass, and then tell her to get back out there. I never understood that. I'm not for prostitution. I'm not for anybody wrecking and selling a body. But being a prostitute, I mean, you're putting your life in danger. I mean, you don't know what these guys have or are going to do to you when they pick you up. That's your life. And my thing was, back in the day, I think if you're going to get out here and sell your body, if you're going to get out here and break the law. In some states, prostitution is legal, like Nevada. A lot of these girls leave states like Illinois and go to Nevada because it's legal in Nevada. But most of them in these Midwestern states it's not too legal. It's not legal. But my thing was always if you're gonna sell your body, then why don't you keep the money? But you know what? That's no argument at all. That's no argument. But that was my thinking. I said, if you're going to go out and have sex, why give the money to someone else? But a lot of these girls aren't giving their money to these guys. These guys are taking it. They're manhandling these girls, scaring these girls, threatening these girls. These girls are vulnerable, and they take the money. And they threatened the girls, beat the girls, and said, if you say anything, call the police, tell anybody, I'm going to kill your ass. And the girls, you know, they get scared. I mean, because most of these guys are gangbangers anyway, put these guys, these girls out there. And, you know, I always say, if you see something, you know something, tell somebody, you know. Because a lot of these girls, some girls are brave enough to get out of this, to escape this. Some are not. Because a lot of these guys, they will go around they trying to find girls or trying to recruit girls. I have seen guys around Loyola University and some of the other universities, colleges around here, and even grammar school trying to recruit young girls. They look for the most vulnerable girl. They look for the most nicest. They look for the most friendliest to make friends with. I've seen it. I mean, I've witnessed it. This is not just me talking or researching something. This is something I have experienced, seen from some from people that I've known. I used to know this lady. This I think they moved from the neighborhood, but she was a Asian. And she had two kids. She had a small son, and she had an older daughter, you know. But she was still grammar school age, so she had two kids, you know. So, because I know this, because my son was friends with both of them, you know. Suddenly, the daughter, she was no more than maybe 11 or 12. They all went to the same school as my son. And I knew the mother. We hung out together sometimes. We were at the park together. And the boy would be with us, but the girl, who knows where she was? You know, so she was a friend. She was a friend of mine, and I can honestly say that she was a friend of mine. She was Asian, a friend. I'm thinking Chinese. And we would go to the park, walk, take walks, and all of a sudden her daughter is prostituting. Her daughter was way underage. She was prostituting. I would see her almost every day. She's walking down the street with some dirtbag guy prostituting. She would wear provocative and see-through clothes. And remember, she was in grammar school. And my thinking is that she had gotten thrown out of the house because her parents probably wouldn't allow that kind of situation. But then after, maybe they know she's a hooker. Maybe they know she's doing what she's doing. Maybe they're letting her do those things because she's trying to help pay the bills. I had no idea. I didn't interfere with that because I didn't like that. I mean, I wasn't going to be dealing with no prostituting girl because, you know, at my age and her age, that's wouldn't set well with the law. And it's just phenomenal that some of these girls are coming out of grammar school standing on the corners. And some guy is putting them there, threatening them. But you have to realize this, too. Some of these girls out here having sex and doing this, they like it. It's a way of life for them. It's nothing else for them to do. There's no way for them to get out of it. So sex trafficking, I'm going to do a whole show on that. I'm going to get some clips if I can. I'm going to try to get Dr. Nancy Hartwell back to talk about that a little later on in the future, because I have talked to her and she said she wouldn't mind coming back. And that's great. That's wonderful. I'm going to try and get a lot of people on the show who can enlighten us on just about going on in America, especially things that we can change. I don't want to, like I've said several times on the show and with guests on the show, I'm not a talk show host that just sit and talk. I want action. Action speaks louder than anybody's words. Anybody's word. And we're going to have to do something about sex trafficking. Stop these dirtbag guys. Most of them are probably in gangs. recruiting these young girls and putting them out on the streets, beating them. I mean, there are so many times. I mean, years ago, I used to see a lot of this, guys beating up on their girlfriends, and it makes you want to just go over there and just, you know, jump in and stop it. But the guys, I mean, these were gangbangers. They had guns. And but it was sad. It was very, very sad. And it's still happening today. It's happening as I speak. Some girl is getting her ass plummeted to the ground because some dirtbag thug just feel like beating on her. That's not good. That's not good. We're going to do a show on that. And we're going to do some more on elder abuse also, because there is so many older people, elderly people, people 55, 60, 65, 75, 80 and older who are being abused, misused by others. And I'm not always talking about a nursing home abuse. It happens in the family. It happens in the family home. I mean, if you haven't heard some of my shows that I've done on elderly abuse, go check out and archive some of my past shows, recently past shows. And, hey, wow, you can learn something. I learned something about elder abuse. But regardless of what kind of abuse it is, if it's elder abuse, sexual abuse, child abuse, it's not right. It is not right. All right, this is George Walter Jr. I don't know how I got off on that, because I was talking about the I guess I'm like some other talk show hosts. You get passionate sometimes when you're talking about something because you really, really believe in what you're saying. But you have to watch yourself because there's so many people out there who would take advantage of that. Well, he has a soft heart. She has a soft heart. Let's kick her around. You have to watch yourself because people try to take advantage of you knowing that you have a soft heart and try to use you to get things out of you by that. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody, and I'm glad to be on the air. I've been off for 3 or 4 days, so I'm kind of glad to be on the air. So we're going to do a lot about okay, I got to get some of these clips off of here. They're kind of old. Let's see what we can do. All righty. We got Chirac. You know, I've done a show on that. I'm going to do another one. Don't worry about it. It's coming up. But, you know, like I said before, you can always, always archive my shows. Here we go. Bill. Is that Bill? Let me see. Do we have a Bill around here? Hold on. I'll be right back, everybody. Yeah, we're back. I am back. If you hear any cracks or breaks in the show, I apologize. Sometimes the internet just doesn't act right. Like I've said so many times before, when you're doing internet radio, some people don't believe that it's that it doesn't stand alongside of over-the-air radio or serious radio. But you know what? This radio, internet radio, my show is free. Serious radio, you have to pay for it. And you practically, and what do you get when you pay for serious radio? What do you do when you listen to radio? That's, you get a bunch of commercials. A bunch. I mean, sometimes I'm listening to the radio, I can't believe all the commercials that I get. And then you have to pay for the service. just like you pay for cable TV, direct TV, or RCN television or TV, you pay for cable radio. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wild? And speaking of cable, speaking of Comcast, I'm hearing, and it's being reported, that Comcast is trying to charge people for data usage, data caps, instead of a monthly. If you don't know what data usage, data is the internet. It's the internet. Instead of they're charging you by the usage, not by the month. Let's say if you need to use the internet for 3 hours, then you pay for 3 hours. And after that, you don't have it anymore. And if you want to use it further, you have to pay again. This is Comcast. And Comcast is a monopoly. That means they don't have any competition. Monopolies do not have it. And when you don't have any competition, you're free to do what the hell you want. This is totally, totally wrong. Comcast saying that the reason is this, allegedly saying that the reason is this, because people are not basically watching television, Comcast television, the service that Comcast provide for TV. They're not watching it. Comcast is saying people are watching movies online instead of, you know, what they provide for your TV. And they don't like that. So they're trying to cut your usage online watching movies to make you go back and watch movies on television, the service they are providing, if I got all of that down correctly. Yeah, but it's crazy if you understand what I'm saying. It's crazy. This is why I gave up Comcast years ago. I got tired of getting those high-ass bills in the mail. When I first signed with Comcast, it was years ago, the bill was low. It was like maybe, I don't know, $19, $29 a month. Suddenly, I mean, every time I would get the bill, it would go up. And it went up, I mean, it wouldn't go up $10, $20. The bill would go up $30 and $40. Constantly. I once got a monthly Comcast bill for just cable television. It was $180 a month, not having internet or phone. It was just cable. And I gave it up after that. I said, no way am I going to be dealing with any kind of cable. And since then, I have not had cable. I don't get direct TV. I don't need any of that stuff because I mean, what are you going to do with all those channels? I'm not going to watch all those channels. Why am I paying for all of these channels? I'm not going to watch them. A lot of them don't interest me. I'm not going to, you know, my family, my son is not going to watch that stuff. I mean, I'm only going to pay for what I'm going to watch. So I gave up Comcast, and I never, ever have regretted it one damn bit. I gave it up, and I do not want it anymore. But however, Comcast is a monopoly. Comcast is controlling just about everything in Chicago. Most of the time, if it's not AT&T, if it's not RCN, it's Comcast. Comcast is buying all of these people out. Because I recently had my internet provider was Clear, and they went under. I've been having these guys for 5 or 6 years, and they went under. Now, what I'm getting now, every time I turn on my phone, is Xfinity. You know, get Xfinity. I don't want Xfinity. I have Netflix. And a lot of us have Netflix. We don't have Comcast. We don't have cable. We have Netflix. And Comcast do not like that. That's why they are talking about data caps on your internet. Paying for what you use as you use it. Now, something, the FCC is going to have to jump in this. This is not right. Just because they are a monopoly doesn't give them the right to take advantage of people because they want to make more money. That's not right. And from what I'm hearing, a lot of the other internet providers, they are sitting back watching what Comcast do, because if it works for Comcast, obviously they're going to try it too. So, but we have to, as people, as consumers, we have to tell Comcast, don't do that. Everybody who's anybody, they're trying to control the internet. They are trying to control us. What we watch, what we do, what we eat, they are trying to control us. I mean, there's nowhere I can go on the internet. Let's say if I wanted to go on Amazon and buy something, okay? And suddenly I saw something I want to buy. I buy it, okay? The next thing I know, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at what I bought on Amazon. How did that happen? Facebook doesn't know anything about what I'm buying. Why is what I'm buying, what I bought on Amazon, is showing up on Facebook? Because they're sharing. They're sharing what you do. The internet is trying to run your life. Well, this is what George Wilder Jr. bought. He bought a microphone. And every time you buy something on Amazon, they'll say, well, why don't you share it on Facebook? Share it with your friend. All right. I want to thank Dr. Nancy Hartwell for being on the show last week. She was beautiful. And if you didn't catch that show, I'm going to post it again so you guys can catch that show. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. And in the near future, we're going to have guests on the show. It's not going to be a lot of guests. Okay. All right. Let's get back to the debate. Let's see what we got here, if I can find it. All right, the fourth Republican debate. All right, Donald Trump denounces the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership with Pacific Rim nations, calling it a horrible deal. A lot of us called it a horrible deal. I might agree with Donald Trump on this. Totally. You know, because we were trying not to get this thing passed, but Obama was trying to get it passed, and we all know that this was a job killer. It's a job killer, even though right now the economy, some people say the economy is good, but we all know that everybody is not benefiting from it, because this month the jobs report was at 5%. 5%. I don't think I've ever known it to be at 5%. That means that people are working, but we know that everybody is not working. We know that this 5% is not working for every damn body, you know, because this Trans-Pacific Partnership, all it means, all it's doing is going to take your job away from you and put it overseas where people who are making 15 cents is going to be doing what you were doing in the U.S. This is why a lot of us was against this Trans-Pacific Partnership, but Obama pushed it and the Republicans pushed it. They kept killing it in the House. But they kept resurrecting it. They resurrected this bill until it passed, because this is what they wanted. The Republicans were for it because it was bad for America. Obama was for it. I don't know why he was for it, but he helped pass it. And all it means is just taking jobs from the United States and shipping them overseas because of cheap labor and no taxes. And rich people putting their money in Swiss bank accounts because they don't want to pay U.S. taxes. So I kind of agree with Donald Trump on that. It's a horrible deal that sends U.S. jobs overseas and still wind up benefiting China. Right. Vietnam, The businessman said he would renegotiate separate trade deals with individual countries. Trump says, we don't have smart people making deals. I don't know. A lot of people would disagree with him. A lot of people think that Obama is the smartest president we ever had in the whole wide world. I don't agree with that, but I'm not going to say he's the dumbest. And there's a lot of things Obama done that was super. And there's a lot of things he should have done or could have done or we wanted him to do that he did not do. For one thing, we didn't want this Trans-Pacific Partnership. He killed the Keystone Pipeline. Some people say that's a good thing because it was not a job. It was not a job creator. It was a job buster. So Donald Trump is probably I probably agree with him on that. And I'm pretty sure some other liberals probably would agree with him on that. You know, so. And Trump also talked about the need to beef up national defenses and says that the GOP various tax plans are better than the mess left behind by the current administration. What are you talking about, George W. Bush? Yeah, he left a mess. George W. Bush left us in a hole. We were in a damn recession, damn near depression when he left. And it took Obama to come in after George W. Bush to kind of clean this garbage up, you know what I'm saying? All righty. So we're talking about the fourth, well, we're analyzing it and giving you my thoughts and my opinions. 847-347-8457-1762. All right, we're talking about that. We're talking about things in the news. And we're going to, it's more on the George Wilder Jr. show. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. Thank you very much. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, casting live from Chicago. It is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful time. Everything is just great. No, it's not great. Let me take that back because we are going to have a big-time teacher strike coming, I believe, in January. And everybody is blaming Springfield. I'm in Chicago. I'm talking about Chicago. I live in Illinois. And we still do not have a budget. We've been without a budget for almost 6 months. And it seems like nobody is moving on this budget. And every Hi, Elizabeth. She's so beautiful. And it seems like nobody is moving on this budget. And it appears that they are just letting this state go under. I mean, Bruce Rauner, he's the governor of Illinois. He's the governor of Illinois, and he should take the blame for everything, even though he's throwing the blame. Yeah, the blame can go all around, but he's the governor. He's the governor. And so he gets the blame. This is our going on our six months without a budget. It is crazy. It's crazy. Some people aren't getting paid. They still can't seem to get child care passed because we have one rogue Democrat who just will not vote with the Democrats. And his name is Duncan or Durkin or something. We're going to vote his ass out. We're going to make sure we have somebody run against this guy, throw his ass out, because he's not representing the people who voted his ass in the office. He's representing the opposition, and we don't want that. He wasn't hired for that. We don't pay him for that. We pay him to work with the Democrats. We don't pay him to turn coat and run and work with the Democrats. I mean, work with the Republicans, and he's a Democrat. This is why we can't get a lot of things done. This is the reason why in the Illinois legislature they cannot override a lot of things that Rauner's doing, because he's got one rogue-ass Democrat that's not going to let that happen. And his ass is all over television trying to explain all of this away, and he can't. He just looks stupider and stupider, and then he looks dumber. You know, he is a rogue-ass Democrat. He's keeping 70,000 children in Illinois from getting child care, this lone-ass Democrat. Keeping 70,000 children in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago, from getting good child care because he wants to vote with the other side, who doesn't want child care for anybody. So we're going to vote his ass out. He's got to be crazy. Somebody like this, he's got to be crazy to do something like that, because he knows people can put another person up against him and beat his ass, and he will lose his job because he's not doing his job. He's working against the people who put him in office. And, you know, what can I say? And this is why I always say wait till election time, because I got a feeling this time during the midterms people are going to get out there and vote. A lot of people do not vote in off elections years, but that's crazy. You have to vote when you're supposed to vote. And that's the reason why a lot of people slacked off. They didn't vote. They had all kind of reasons. Well, I don't vote in the midterms. I don't vote in off-season elections. I don't vote because I don't like the candidates. All the politicians are crooked. They don't do nothing for you. Well, we have to keep on voting, because that's why the lack of vote. I say this all the time, that when you do not vote, your vote still counts. Because when you don't vote, that's a vote for the bad guy. Regardless whether you use your vote or not, it's going to count. So why not just vote and vote the right way? There's so many people out here that's voting the wrong way. There's so many people out here that's not voting. That's why we got Bruce Rauner. Only 25% of the people voted last year, 2014. 25% of the people in Illinois voted. That's a damn shame. That's too low. Nobody voted. And we got this asshole Bruce Rauner in office. Pardon my French, but, you know, you get passionate about these things. That's why we got Bruce Rauner. And a lot of us on these talk shows, and there's a lot of us, you know, we're saying the same thing. People did not vote. This is why we're in this mess. This is why we're in it. You didn't vote. Your sister didn't vote. Your brother didn't vote. Your father didn't vote. your niece, your nephew, whatever. You didn't get out there and voted. You've got to do that. And I blame the Democrats somewhat for people not voting, because it's the Democratic. I mean, if you're going to run for office and you're a Democrat or you're independent or you're liberal or whatever, progressive, you have to get your voters excited about getting out there and doing this. You don't get your voters excited and revved up about voting and revved up about the elections, you ain't going to get crap. Republicans, you know, they don't – I mean, if you think about it, they're the one percenters, the rich, people like Rauner, billionaires. They're the one percenters. We are the 99 percenters. Do the math. There's more of us than there are of them. There's more of us than there are of them. But when we don't vote, the 1% get it, and they wreak havoc on you. And the people who voted the right way suffer because of those who voted the wrong way. We have to get out here and vote. I'm going to be harping on this all the way up to the election on this show, so you might as well get used to it. I'm going to be talking about voting, 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 and more voting, and things in the news. I'm going to mix it up, but basically it's going to be about voting. Today's show is about the conservative debate. I wasn't planning on talking about voting, but on this show, you never know what you're going to be talking about. You know, I mean, I just rail sometimes because there is no guest today. I am the guest, and I hope you guys can appreciate that out there. And when you download it or archive the show, remember that there don't really need to be a guest on the George Wilder Show, Junior Show, because George Wilder can handle it himself. But I do love guests on the show, and we're gonna have some political people on the show talking about voting. We're gonna have people on the show talking about the economy. We're gonna have people on the show talking about their books, you know. So it's just gonna be a fun time on the George Wilder Junior Show. So you guys just hang in there, stick in there, and check me out on Facebook, on Blog Talk Radio, right here. Make sure you follow me on Blog Talk Radio. You know, so you by following me, you'll always know what time my shows are, when they begin, who's the guest going to be, what we're going to be talking about, the topic of the show. So follow me on the show. And also follow me on Amazon. I'm also on Amazon. It says click follow, you know, for new material, new books, new essays, e-books, or stuff like that. Follow me on there, too. And also follow me on my blog. I have a blog. It's called Derek Sweat Sings the Blues. Derek Sweat Midwest Deep Freeze Blog. Derek, let me see. It's long. It's very long. Derek Sweat Midwest Deep Freeze. .blogspot.com. That's it. Okay. I got so many of these things, it's hard to remember sometimes. But anyway, vote. That's the thing. V-O-T-E. Vote. Vote, vote, vote. Democrats have to get you guys out there who are liberals, progressives. You have to get out there and do your duty. You have to get out there and make those people who have fought, died, for you to have this privilege to vote. Make them proud. Make them proud. Don't have them turning over in their grave because you won't vote. You know, don't do that. You know, so many people give so many reasons for not voting. It's just, there is no reasons for not voting. There is no, I don't care about a religion. I mean, hey, wow. You know, I mean, voting, you're not going to go to hell if you vote. I mean, you're going to go to hell if you don't do good works. You know, I mean, that's what some people think. It's not necessarily what I think. But basically all I'm saying is vote. Do your due diligence. Because everybody else is going to do what they have to do, you know, so. And this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. Sit back, enjoy yourself, you know. And like I said before, this is my first day back on the radio show. And we don't have a guest, but we will have some in the near future. So you guys hang in there for that, for that. I've been busy all week writing. Yeah, whenever I'm not on the radio, I'm writing. Most of the time I'm writing, or either I'm booking guests for the show. I'm doing one of the two, or I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing one of the, you know, so it's a lot of work in general, but it's fun, and I love doing it. And so, like I said before, follow me on Block Talk Radio right here. All you got to do is click, okay? Follow me on Amazon. You know, go check me out on Amazon. I'm on Amazon. Check me out there. And then if once you pull up my Amazon page, click on there. Click follow. And, no, stay with me. Just stay with me, you know, and because there's going to be a lot of good things coming on this show future-wise. And check out some of those back those recent shows. They're good. They're great. They're wonderful. Wonderful people on the show. They were wonderful guests. And they really provide some really needed and provocative and serious and knowledgeable information. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, thing live from Chicago. It is beautiful outside. How's the weather out there? It's frigid. Okay, all right. Thank you for that. All right. We'll be right back. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. If you hear any cracking or breaking up in the show, I apologize. Okay. The Republicans want to slash assistance tuition to colleges. They want to slash child care. They want to cut domestic violence. They want to take away money for crime prevention, health care, collective bargaining. I think that's their pet peeve, especially Bruce Rauner. This guy wants to bust unions wide open. I mean, he is really want to do this. That's one of the reasons why we have not gotten a budget. He wants to bust unions. And the schools are hurting for money from Springfield. They are hurting for money. And my thinking is that they're not going to get anything from Bruce Rauner. Nothing from Michael Madigan or John Cullerton. Because these guys don't like each other, there's no budget, so they're not going to get anything whatsoever. And in turn, the teachers are going to strike, because if they don't strike, It's going to be about 5,000 maybe to 7,000 teachers laid off at the beginning of 2016 because of the wrangling, the impasse, no budget, no talking, no nothing that's going on in the state of Illinois in Springfield. That's a damn shame. Teachers are going to strike. And they are. I mean, they are, and unless there is money coming from Springfield. And we know ain't nothing's going to come from Springfield. Rauner is not going to give up anything. The guy should be thrown out of office. He is the one who has totally taken down Illinois. But you can put the blame on some of everybody. Everybody, you can put it on. Because we have some in the legislature, like I just got through talking about, we have in the legislature some people who are just turncoat Democrats. Instead of voting with the Democrats, they change over and vote with the Republicans. Obviously, Rauner's buying them off. But we're going to buy them off in the upcoming election. We're going to vote their asses out because they're not representing the people. They're representing money, Rauner's money. And they're Democrats, and that's not right. That's not fair. That's stupid. That's crazy because you're going to be losing your job. And I see this guy, Durkin or Duncan or whatever, I see his see him on shows and on the internet and in the news, and he looks like the Democrats are vindictive. It's not that he voted the wrong way. He did not vote. You know, I don't know. Why is he a Democrat? You know, that's my point. If he's voting with the Republicans, why in the hell you call yourself a Democrat? Quit being a Democrat and go over and be a Republican and let a Democrat who's going to represent the people, let him take that spot. Take your job and be a Republican. You know, hate people. Hate social programs. Hate health care. Hate senior citizens who wants to eat, who can't get their breakfast, their meals, or whatever. Senior citizens, centers are closing because of this. Because of you. You, one lone representatives, are stopping 70,000 children from getting simple daycare. One lone bastard. You know, one lone guy. We're going to burn him in the election coming up. And he knows it. And he's traveling all over the damn television and internet saying, trying to defend this. You cannot defend this. There's no way you can defend it. You're just looking stupider. Just sit there, relax until the day you don't have a job anymore. Because we're going to vote your ass out, Mr. Duncan or Durkin. I don't even bother remembering his name. But he knows who he is. Michael Madigan knows who he is. John Cullerton knows who he is. Everybody in that legislature knows who he is. Bruce Rauner knows who he is. Because this is crazy. This is what I've been saying in shows, previous shows, that we elect these people, we put their asses in office, and they work against us. But we still have to vote. Don't let this stop you from voting. We just have to vet people a little bit more. We just can't vote for people because they look good. We cannot vote for people because they have nice sounding names. We cannot vote for people because they talk nice or they got great ideas. We have to go into that background. Just like you get a job, and all of a sudden, before you can get that job, the employer has to go into your background, find out what you – we have to do the same thing for these candidates that we vote into office. Because you know what? Especially these representatives, and they serve how many – 2 years. 2 years. So when 2 years is up, they got to run again. 2 years. So when you vote one of these representatives in office, they win – the election, they're in office. Do you think once they're in that office, they're thinking about you, the voter who put them there? No. They have a one-track mind. They're thinking about what? The next election. How they're going to get reelected. because 2 years are gonna go back, gonna fly by like I don't, gonna fly by like, just like that. They're not thinking about you and me, and we voted them in office. No, hell no. They're thinking about getting rich. How they gonna get money to send their kids to college? They're not thinking about how to send your child to college. How much do they make? $67,000 a year? That's pretty good for a part-time job, you know, a job where they don't do much but sit on their asses and vote. You'd be surprised. Some of them can't even do that. They can't do that. I've always said that Bruce Brown is probably going to wind up being corrupt. You know, I don't think we're done with corruption in the state of Illinois. I really, truly don't. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Amazon, and follow me on Amazon. All right, here we go. Got it? Got it? All right, there we go. Let all he's done with. Spike Lee? All right, George Wilder Jr., I'm talking about Spike Lee. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, here we go. We got about 3 more minutes in the show. We're ending at 7:30. Thank you, people, for listening. Thank you for archiving. Make sure you listen to the show. It's a great show, guests or no guests, but we always have great guests on this show. And like I said, in the coming days, it's going to get a lot better. It's going to be a lot better show. This is internet radio. You know what? Some people don't think internet radio can really survive against over-the-air radio. But I think it's going to be an explosion, an evolution explosion in internet radio, because there are so many people out here who are on the radio, on internet radio. I mean, internet radio is around the world. I mean, we are internationally. Not just Chicago, not just Illinois, not just the United States, but everywhere there's internet, that's where internet radio can reach. Not over the air. Over the air is okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure they can probably do it too. But like I said before, it's a lot of competition, and I'm still a needle in the haystack. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of it, because you are the one. You are the one that keeps me here. Believe me. Believe me, I know the ratings of this show. They're not super great, but they, but you know, there's something there. Well, from other, I guess other radio stations, networks or whatever. But I decided to stay here because I think I know a little bit more about here than I don't have time to be learning another format, you know. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're practically off the air. Thank you for being with me, people. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I hope you join me tomorrow. Bye.